a little bit of a change to the other speakers that we've had so far, but yeah, there is definitely an element of peer education in this project for sure. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. I think we've heard lots of people talk about the disparities in Aboriginal sexual health and non-Indigenous Australia. These are some of the infographics that we've produced as part of Young Deadly Free to help represent that and communicate that. So Young Deadly Free is funded by the Commonwealth Department of Health and it aims to improve awareness of syphilis and other STIs across remote Australia, promote STI and bloodborne virus awareness and education, especially with the syphilis outbreak among our communities, promote STI testing among young people and promote testing among clinicians, and importantly, taking a strength-based approach and documenting the agency and protective factors. So we have a fabulous consortia, Aboriginal Health Council of Western Australia, Aboriginal Health Council in South Australia, AMSANT, QUAKE and CAMHS up in the Kimberley. And the work that we've been doing with Young Deadly Free would not be possible without them and many of the other ARCHOs and other health services, and also youth workers and a whole range of various people out in those states and regions that we've been working with. And so the resources and all the activities have been developed by SAMRI, but as I said, with heavy consultation and involvement from all of these partners. So the primary thing that we've been doing is developing and implementing and evaluating education and health promotion resources with... And I think that's what sort of makes this project sort of unique, is that we haven't just been targeting young people or just been targeting clinicians. We've been targeting people across these three target groups that are listed here. And importantly, including, broader people in the community, so parents and carers, elders, teachers, and youth workers as well, because obviously we've all got a role to play in addressing STIs in remote communities. So I'm mainly going to be focusing on that part of Young Deadly Free, but there are other domains that are part of this project. So we're also looking at youth peer education, and Siren are going to be presenting on that after me, and monitoring STI testing and management, and obviously an overall evaluation of the project as well. So as I mentioned before, we wanted it to be strengths-based, participatory, so where possible, driven by the community in our messaging, and as much community involvement as possible, and not just from the health services or, boards of health services, but young people and parents and families in community and elders as well. And we really wanted to highlight sexual agency, so the things that people are already doing, focusing on the positive things that they're doing right and the peer support networks that exist in those communities as well. So the needs were assessed from drawing on our own knowledge and experience as the consortia, 15 years working in Aboriginal sexual health and travelling to many remote communities. Obviously based on the research and the gaps in knowledge and information that the research was telling us was there. Formal and informal consultations with workforces. So our partners from the peak bodies had set up sort of clinician groups that they were consulting with and various other groups, and also just calling up people in very, very remote locations that we couldn't get to necessarily participate in all of those, and getting their feedback on the fly and getting them to show young people that they were working with the resources as well. There were some youth and POI consultations as well, and then we were developing kind of draft concepts and sending those out for further feedback and input. And then actually when we landed on the ground, what we had as a draft concept was often not what we produced because of it relied heavily on, once we got to the community, who we recruited to participate and what they wanted to talk about and the language that they wanted to use. So the concepts that we had when we flew in were sort of very broad sort of key messages that we wanted to get out there and that we knew were important. So... these little yellow boxes that are popping up around our screen here, these are all the health promotion resources that we produce, and that's the number of resources. So in total, here's my notes, over 360 new sexual health STI resources for remote communities. Huge amount of work by lots of people. But I'm now just mainly going to focus on the video development because that has been the what has taken up most of my time and energy for the last couple of years. And you can see there's a huge number of videos that were part of that. So 19 educational videos, 125 social media videos, and 16 other clinical resources, and another 7 more videos that I'm still in the process of editing. So, yeah. These are the locations that we went to film. And they were sort of picked as locations where there was a syphilis outbreak response happening as well, but also as kind of central hubs where we know that lots of other people were sort of living and travelling to. And interestingly, in Darwin, for example, I think in Darwin we interviewed a lot of people from Queensland, and in South Australia we interviewed a lot of people from Northern Territory, and it's very interesting where everybody ends up living and working. And so I'm based here in Perth, and I was trying to engage with people in these communities, many of which, for example, in Queensland, I had never even been to and I had never worked with, and trying to encourage people to get on camera and talk about what we constantly say is a taboo and shame-inducing subject on camera. So that was a very interesting process. Lots of emails and lots of Facebook, social media stuff, and lots of begging people to please get on camera and work with us. And what this often resulted in was a whole heap of clinicians, actually not necessarily in all locations, who would put their hands up and fill our schedule up on day one, but it pretty much meant that we flew in for a week in community and had nobody locked in except for the first 2 interviews, which meant a lot of hustle and a lot of networking and a lot of relying on people on the ground to assist us, and relationship building very, very, very quickly. And from that, and I would like to just acknowledge our Generation Media, who we worked with, because their way of working and their ability to build, they were non-Indigenous filmmakers, but their ability to build that rapport and that trust with the community in such a short amount of time was just amazing. And if you speak to any of the people, actually, particularly the LGBTI crew that we interviewed in South Australia, they would just say that they felt so comfortable. They found themselves really surprised about the stuff that they were sharing on camera after, initially feeling quite anxious about what the process was going to be. They were very personable and very experienced at what they do. So this is just an example of one of the lengthy, complicated, probably more complicated draft scripts that we had sort of written up about some of the things that we might want to talk about. And as I said, what would happen is I'd fly into community, we would recruit some young people who were interested, and then it would be sort of a lot of education on the spot, yarning with them about the key messages and the issues in community, and them often coming back to us and saying some of the things that they wanted to talk about or the messages that they wanted to get across. And the language that they would use. And so we would go from something like this and end up with something like this.
Hey, I was thinking of doing something, but only if you're ready.
What do you reckon? Now you get any condoms?
What do you mean, a condom?
Because we need condoms, maybe we might catch disease or something.
I don't have any disease or sickness in me.
You never know, you know who you've been going with back in the days, and you don't know who I went with back in the days, so we should just go and get checked up to be careful.
Well, I got this in case.
Oh, and there you go. Should I just said that in the first place?
I think the process of flying into a very fairly remote place and expecting them to talk on camera about this stuff in itself has, I think, hopefully, I'd love to do a bit of a more evaluation into this, done a lot to really smash the taboos around sexual health in these locations. She was actually legitimately very, very shy and petrified about being on camera, so we did very well getting that video together. On the flip side, this was a totally different way of approaching it. We knew we wanted to talk about, obviously, pregnancy and STIs and testing. There's a video on the Young Deadly Free website and on our Facebook page that I don't have time to show you, so you're all just going to have to go and look at it. that is hilarious with this lovely couple from Sejuna. And the entire script for that was developed from his interview. So we interviewed them about their relationship and about testing and, the experience of becoming a dad, and the entire script was developed from his interview. So we really didn't have any control about what that was going to end up looking like. And another example is also in Cairns with the crew at Cairns Sexual Health, who just decided that they really wanted to do a condom man video. Again, we actually didn't even have that in the schedule at all that week, but the film crew were very excited when they wanted to get dressed up in the costumes, and so we had a whole nother video that we hadn't even put in any funding proposal that got produced. We really had to be very flexible in the way that we worked, go with where the energy was, and you know, really work with the community and where they were at. So we have our website, youngdeadlyfree.org.au. So we've had a lot of users in that time. So the little red numbers that are up there were numbers from this week. So these were from a report from that Siren produced, but these were the updated numbers in the red. So lots of followers on Facebook. And lots of shares and lots of engagement. I think it's been interesting. We really didn't know how that was going to go because obviously on Facebook, when you comment on something, then everybody in your whole network can see that you've commented on it. And so I think we've potentially had a lot more people see it and a lot less interactions with the content because of there is still that kind of, I think, taboo thing around sharing stuff on social media. It was very hard to do the social media targeting for remote locations because many young people, either the remote locations weren't available as a targeted place, or a lot of young people that are in remote will say that they're located in their closest capital city or largest central location. So it's kind of hard to really measure our reach in terms of that sense and the remoteness. Facebook had more followers than Instagram. Instagram engaged a lot more younger demographic, and we also did Diva Chat ads as well. So Diva Chat had donated advertising space to the project, and so we had banners there that sort of advertised Young Deadly Free and the click through. Anything else I need to say? Oh, gone backwards. Sorry. So content with the highest engagement. So Crystal Love, we did some videos with her, two video Talking True videos actually. So that was one of the highest ones. Condo Man, which again, as I said, that was a video that we hadn't even planned. So that was really awesome that that's got so much traction. And the TVC for the syphilis outbreak as well, the Get Tested TVC. And again, I don't have time to show you all these videos, so I'm just hoping this talk's going to motivate you all to follow our page and share our content and check it all out. Sarifa was actually one of the first young people that we interviewed here in Perth from up in Carnarvon area. So her poster was one of the most popular downloads, which is nice to see considering we're in WA at the moment. And our phase one Young Deadly Syphilis Free posters, but I think that's probably a lot to do with the longevity of that campaign as well. And our syphilis infographics, particularly the ones about epi and rate ratio. And I also recall that the outbreak map was one of the most shared of our infographics on social media too. So I think people just wanting to know that that outbreak was happening and potentially being surprised by it and sharing a lot of that content. So we did plan on recruiting social media ambassadors as part of Young Deadly Syphilis Free, and that also would have supported the Young Deadly Free work as well. But that didn't occur at the time, and James and I were wondering now that we've gained that traction and there is a lot more people that have been involved in the project and a lot more of the content out there, if that would be different if we tried to revisit it again. But we didn't get any... Lots of people said that they would do it, and then when it came to actually, starting that process, it didn't occur. We were also meant to do a range of recruitment of famous POIs, which was an interesting process as well, and I feel like a lot of their non-Indigenous management staff vetoed it, as opposed to them not being willing to put their hands up because it wasn't culturally appropriate, apparently. So that was an interesting process. I've already talked about the social media targeting. And there were a few locations where we didn't have that. The example that I gave, where we only had two people signed up, and one of those was in Bamaga because Mario Asan up there had done a great job at recruiting people for us. So there were a few locations where we pretty much had a full schedule, which we almost didn't know what to do then because we actually had a full schedule. But that was where there was those dedicated sexual health positions, and they were very, very, very hands-on in helping us recruit. Some of the feedback from the field, and I've had people come up to James and I since we've been here as well to give further feedback, but these were just some sort of emails that we got sent through. And yeah, I'm going to talk in the syphilis symposium later, but for those of you who might not come to that, the spots ad in there, we had some feedback from, I'm actually not sure which community it was, but they were basically saying that young people were coming in and asking for their test with the spot and showing off their spots in community, which really blew my mind. I thought that is, you know, it's quite potentially quite transformative for the work that we're doing and representing things and how they could be different. And just a bit of a plug, this is our new clinical practice and resource manual, so you can find that on our Young Deadly free page. And that is us. Check out our socials.